I can face tomorrow. Remember that song? Because he lives. Join me in our scriptural affirmation from Ecclesiastes today. Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter, 13th verse. Better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished.
For out of prison he cometh to reign, whereas also he that is born in his kingdom becometh poor.
I considered all the living which walk under the sun, with the second child that shall stand up in his stead.
There is no end of all the people, even of all that have been before them. They also that come after shall not rejoice in it. Surely this also is vanity and vexation of spirit.
Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil.
But not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few.
For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words.
Not to pay, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed.
Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay.
Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error.
Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands?
For in the multitude of dreams and many words are also divers vanities, but fear thou God.
Oh, dear Lord, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Help us to fear you this day, to reverence you this day, to give ourselves over to you in a way that shows that we know that you are a great and wonderful God. This day, Lord, you are welcome in this place. This day, Lord, we ask that you would bless us. This day, Lord, we ask that you would lead us and guide us. This day, Lord, we need you and we know it. But we believe that you are, and that you reward those who diligently seek you. So we're seeking you this day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Leave us, nor will he forsake us. Our God is good to us. Our God is like none other. He is worthy. We say that so casually. We say it so often that maybe we don't understand that worthy. He is this worship. He's deserving. He is really and truly the one who deserves all of our adoration, all of our love, all of our care. He is a good and loving and amazing God, and that amazing God who keeps his promises has always said that he will not leave us. He's here today. He is here now. Oh, that today we could just be so very much aware of his presence. You know, think about this. When you are born again, he comes to live in you. So if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and he's living in you, and you are here, that means he's here too. But the question becomes, will he manifest himself in a way that we become aware of his presence? Aware of his goodness, aware of his power. Do we believe that he has power? Do we believe that he has strength? Do we believe that he actually cares? Oh, we know he's here. Look around. Look at those that you know are his. You know he's here. This is an unusual day, I feel. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes, and we're going to look in the fourth chapter of Ecclesiastes. This is an interesting book. And so many of the passages are extremely challenging just from my standpoint. It's like, what? Maybe I shouldn't admit that. I always know everything that's in this book, and I can tell you everything about it. Yes, that's probably what I should say. But I couldn't lie to you like that. Every once in a while, I run into some things that I go, what is he saying? And it gives me an opportunity to just bathe in the scripture, to take the time to hear what God is trying to say through this amazing compilation of the words that were written here. In the fourth chapter of Ecclesiastes, I think I finally got it. It says, better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. I started thinking about that. And, you know, you begin to think about yourself. I don't know about you, but as you're getting older, you find yourself stuck in your ways. Sometimes you just kind of believe that, well, I know that. I understand that. And this is the way that it should be done. Some of us get stuck in our ways at a pretty young age. But the reality is that we can, even as we have been doing right and trying to do the right thing, can get kind of calcified in our thinking. We're just stuck there. And as we're stuck there, it doesn't allow us to move forward as God is moving us forward. It says, better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. Sometimes we won't hear it from the people around us. Sometimes we won't listen. Sometimes we won't get it. We won't see that there needs to be a change in our thinking in a way that we approach things. Sometimes we, who have loved so much, our church or an institution or our family, are so stuck in our ways that we're missing God. In verse 14, it says, for out of prison he cometh to reign. That means the kid is now the one that's beginning to take over, whereas also he that is born in his kingdom becometh poor. The kid messes up. Do you know that we all make mistakes? Sometimes we don't get it. Sometimes we think we get it, and we don't want to be like those old fossils that they just were stuck in their way, so we're going to do it a different way without thinking through why they did what they did, without understanding what's going on. He says, I considered all the living which walk under the sun, with the second child that shall stand up in his stead. So the next generation that leads comes along. There is no end to all the people of all that have been before them. They're in a long succession. We're in a line of succession. That would, you know, the people that started this church, most of them are not here. There are a few that are here in the very, very early years. But we've changed. And we must keep on changing. We must not change what the Word of God says, but find new ways to adhere to the Word of God. Find different ways to obey the Word of God. Find ways to be resilient and still do what God has said that we should do in this present milieu. We've got to do it. We've got to learn how to love God in the midst of this crazy world that we're in. You know we're in a crazy world. You know, I'll show you how old I am. We were down at Summerfest yesterday. And this girl goes bouncing by. Nice looking young lady. But she had this cotton candy colored hair. And it was like hilarious. I shouldn't laugh at things like that, right? But it was funny. She looked nice. She looked clean. And, you know, she wasn't a weird person, but she had cotton-colored candy hair. Wow. How should I respond to that? How should we respond to that? Those weird people, let's keep them away from our children. And then I realized that one of my children colors people's hair like that. So maybe we ought to think differently. How would God have us to walk in this time? How would God have us to respond in this time so that we are loving people, which we are called to do? How do we love people the right way? How do we care for people the right way? How do we care for people where they are, even if it's a place that we don't want to go? We don't have to... Listen, you don't have to agree with everybody's stance on everything, but you must love them. Even your enemies you're supposed to love. You're supposed to love your spouse. You're supposed to love your neighbor. You're supposed to love your God. I don't know what's left after that. You are people that are called to love. We need to be who we're supposed to be. Surely, it says here in verse 16, there's no end of all the people, even of all that have been before them. They also that come after shall not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and vexation of spirit. It drives you crazy. The cycle of good and bad, the cycle of up and down, the cycle of wrong and right, the changing, how every generation sees those kids as more unruly than any generation that's been before. They weren't like us. We were sweet, and we just did everything mommy and daddy told us to do. We have such messed up memories. Ooh. We forget. We put on these rose-colored glasses. And you know why that glass looks like it's rose-colored? Because we're getting drunk on the wine of this world. we're being intoxicated by memories that really aren't what we thought they were. We weren't all that. Because if we had been all that, we would be more of what we should be now. If we were all that good in some far gone day, how did we lose it to end up to be what we are now? So we need to think clearly about these things. And one of the things I think we need to think clearly about is worship. Do you truly value worship? Or do you really just kind of value habit? Do you really just value entertainment value? Look at this. Verse 1 of chapter 5. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. That's kind of a little saying. Keep thy foot. Be careful. Be wise. Pay attention when you go to the house of God. Pay attention when you're gathered together with God's people. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. I'm going to tell you, it's a foolish, foolish, foolish thing to sing all of these songs and to just be caught up in the moment and not believe what you're singing. To not have the faith that we're supposed to have. Cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. You need to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. These songs that we sing are songs that we want to build your faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We want faith to be built. We want faith to be strengthened. We want you to believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we are seeking this God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We believe that he is calling us. We believe that if we confess with our mouth, and that confess with our mouth is if we agree with God. Do we agree with God? If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, we confess that what the Word of God says about Jesus is true, and what Jesus says to us in the Word of God is true, and he has the right to be Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the one in charge. So what we find in here, as we find it, is something that we are told to do. It is our job, our duty, our desire to follow. It's us following him with a passion that is real. We want that to grow and grow and grow until we've been changed and become change agents. People who have been blessed to be a blessing. We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And we are even being more and more convinced that the power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that is working in us. Get that. If you know Jesus, you have Jesus, the same power that raised him should be raising you. Day by day, you know that he is touching you. Day by day, you know he is in you. And it's true, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he only will strengthen me to do his will. and I find his will in his word. And when I find his will in his word, and that word comes alive to me, that word that is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, burst, explodes in my heart. When I believe that, then I can come confidently, go confidently, move confidently. I can go boldly to the throne of grace. Grace. Grace, that empowerment to do the will of God. Grace, that undeserved favor. Grace. I can go boldly to the throne of grace, to the place where the Father is. I can speak to him and he will speak to me. Grace. I can go to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace. Mercy. I need mercy. Like all of you, I've sinned. Come short of the glory of God. I don't always get it. I don't always do right. I don't even always want to do right. So I need his mercy, not to give me what I deserve. And I'm grateful for his grace, giving me what I don't deserve so that I might be what I've been called to be that I've been called to be, a man of God, a person of God that's able to live a life filled with love, peace, joy, faithfulness. I can be consistent in this walk throughout my life. I can persevere and have patience when all of the challenges come and they besiege my heart. They besiege my life. The circumstances pour in. I can still stand there for having on truth and righteousness. Not my own righteousness, but a righteousness that comes from the living God. The righteousness of Jesus. I can move along with my feet shod with the gospel, the good news that the Lord has come. He has died on the cross for my sin so that I might be free to love him. And I know that because I have the helmet of salvation. I can think right about my absolute need for him. And I have the shield of faith because those are things that are coming and they are just pounding away at what I believe. They're pounding away at how I behave. They're pounding away. But I can handle all of that because I have faith. Faith, it's a gift of God, not of anything I work for, lest I should boast. For I'm his creation, just as you are. And I'm created to do good works. Oh, it's good. It's good to know how great and wonderful that God is, and that he has called us. And when I come to the house of God, when I'm with the people of God, I need to be aware of that. I need to be aware that He is the God who created all things. And make no mistake, the one who could create it all can unmake it all. So keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth. Will you be careful with what you say? I hear people say things to each other that are frightening at times. But worse yet, what they say to their children. You'll never amount to anything. Or that's just a bad seed. The things that I've heard people say about those that God has given them to steward and care for and to raise in the fear and admonition of the Lord. How dare we? How dare we take a soul like that and crush it? Be not rash with thy mouth, and let thine heart be, not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Even if you have a Twitter account. Even if you have a Facebook. You know, there's a thing that's happening. We are really busy people. Have you ever noticed how busy we've gotten as a people? And one of the things that contributes to our busyness is media of all kinds. You know, I'm just going to relax in front of a TV for 4 hours a day. So I take a little break on the weekend, so let's say that's just 20 hours of my life that I've given away. Maybe you say, well, I don't stay on quite that much. Bet you should check. What about Facebook? It calls to you. You know it's calling you. Look. Somebody that you saw 5 years ago, they haven't been on for a while, so you should find out what in the world they're thinking. And then you get there and you realize when they said that, they could not have been thinking. And you're mad about the fact that they could not have been thinking, so you decide that it is your job to help them be straight. And you will make sure that they are straight, and then when you try to straighten them out, they, for some reason, think that they could have something to say back. And of course, you should say something back, because if you don't say something back, it's rude and they might be mad at you. And 6 hours later, you're looking at your phone and say, who started this mess? He calls to you. So much useless stuff calls to you. I'm not saying get off Facebook, but it wouldn't be a bad idea. But do you recognize how it's messing with you? Do you realize it's stealing your precious time? The Word of God tells us we need to redeem the time. CNN and Fox are not your friends. They've got their hand in your pocket. But worse, they've got their hand on your mind. And they're filling you with stuff. Fear of the future. Hate for the interloper. All right. For a dream, it cometh through the multitude of busyness or business. All this stuff besieging you puts thoughts into your head. He knew it way back then. Do we know it now? Do we get it? A fool's voice is known by multitude of words. Let's shut up for a while and listen to God. He has so much to say to us. But don't make foolish promises. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Don't listen, this is not someone we can play with. We can't tell God, I'm going to do this, 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 and then not do it. He is not to be trifled with. We are to worship him carefully and wisely. Don't trifle with God. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. You know, some of us have used the excuse, well, I'm not going to make any promises to do anything for God. No. No cheap excuses, please. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Oops. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? He knows you. For in the multitude of dreams, in the multitude of the stuff that's being built up in your head, in the multitude of the voices that are pouring into you, that are causing you to construct foolish thinking. For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also diverse vanities, foolish, silly stuff. But here's what I want you to do. You fear God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Hear him. You know, when you're afraid, you listen more acutely. When you reverence, you pay more attention. You start wondering what's really happening. Listen to God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Listen, God. God is calling. Today, he's calling you to a deeper relationship with him. If you don't know him, this is a good day to do that. If you need him, you know him, But you need him. You need him to intervene in your life circumstance. This is a good day for that. If you are just celebrating his goodness because you recognize how he has blessed, This is a good day for that. I look around and I see multitudes of answered prayer. I see he has stepped in the midst. I've seen people that have been hurting and are still hurting. But God is moving in their lives. This is a good day for that. Receive him. Take what he has for you this day. Receive him. Do you need him to heal you? Receive him. Let him have his way in you. Receive him. Do you need your mind to be at rest in the midst of all of the crazy things going on? Receive him. He has peace for you. Receive him. He can meet your intellectual challenges, but he can meet even your unreasoning anxiety. Receive him today. Receive him. He's initiated. He's calling and empowering you to receive him. Fear thou God.